Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We return to the book of Malachi, which is our present study on the Beacon broadcast. We are looking at the opening verse of the book, a book which contains four chapters, a book which is the last in the Old Testament. It is placed last and chronologically comes last, although there are a couple of items in the book of Nehemiah that could take place chronologically slightly later than the book of Malachi. But nevertheless, it is the last prophetic word, the last time that God spoke to a prophet and had that prophet deliver his word to his people. And then there were the silent 400 years before the coming of John the Baptist. The opening verse says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." The human author is a man named Malachi, whose name means messenger, but very little else is known about him. The recipients of this letter, this book, this prophecy, are identified by the name Israel, and that is referring to the nation of Israel, and it was delivered in the land of Israel to those who had returned from Babylonian captivity, about 150,000 of them in three different returns. It is a burden or an oracle, which means a weighty message to be delivered, a weighty message to be considered, to be received, a word from the living God. Furthermore, it is described as a word of the Lord, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And so thus, with the word burden, as well as the word, or the phrase, the word of the Lord, we have this double emphasis that this message comes from God. Twice in a verse that is only, well, it doesn't even take up two full lines in my Bible, but twice in that very short verse, we have emphasis upon this being the word of the living God. And that we need to pay close attention to. And to that end, we gather together around the word of God on this Monday, August 26. We welcome you to the Beacon broadcast, and we thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to air this Bible teaching ministry. The message indeed is the word of the Lord, not the prophet's word. It is God's word. And you'll find many, if not all, of the Old Testament prophets make similar claims. A prophet is a spokesman. A prophet is one through whom God speaks his word. He speaks the word to the prophet, and the prophet delivers that word to the people. So the word of God passes through the prophet. The prophet is an instrument. The prophet is a spokesman. A prophet is a mouthpiece. But what he is giving is not his word. It is the word of the Lord. And that's what Malachi claims for his prophecy, and that's what many, if not all, of the Old Testament prophets claim for their prophecy. And the question is, why do we not treat the Word of God more seriously? Why do we treat the words of the prophets so many times as if they are only the words of the prophets rather than the Word of God Almighty? If the claim that this is the Word of God is not true, then why not dismiss this book entirely? In other words, Malachi says, this is the Word of the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So Malachi clearly is claiming that this is the word of the Lord. Now, you've got two choices. You either accept that claim or you reject that claim. I mean, that's the only two possibilities, right? He said it is the word of the Lord. Is it or is it not? Do you believe that or do you not? But let's follow this through for a second. There's some serious implications here. He claims it is the word of God. If that is not true, then why do we even bother looking at this book? What's the value of it if, in fact, the author is claiming something that is not true? If we know from the very beginning, the very first verse, that what he's claiming is a lie or it is a delusion, either one, then why give the book any attention at all? But of course, there are many people who don't want to go that far. Well, I don't believe it is God's word, but it's probably important, it's probably valuable, it's worth examining. Well, why is it? If the author is a liar, or if the author is delusional. But on the other hand, if his claim is true, then how can you possibly treat it lightly? How can you consider it to be only, well, like another book on the shelf of your library, a book of history, a book of ancient wisdom? How can you treat it so lightly if it is what it claims to be, namely the Word of God? And so the burden of the Word of the Lord to Malachi by, or to Israel rather, by Malachi, or literally by the hand of Malachi, which is a Hebrew idiom. It means exactly what our translation says. It is by Malachi that accurately conveys the meaning. But by using that phrase, by the hand of, it emphasizes the message, not the messenger. Malachi is an errand boy. This is the word of the Lord to Israel by the hand of Malachi. He's the one who, as it were, takes the message that is handed to him, and he carries it to Israel and hands it to them. And when you think of that, when you put that picture in your mind, that does emphasize that Malachi is simply an errand runner, and that the word is in fact the word of God. Malachi is simply the errand boy who delivers that message. Now that idiom, which says by the hand of, may also suggest the role of written prophecy as opposed to spoken prophecy. We do know that it was written. We also know that it was originally spoken, but it was written down by Malachi, or else we wouldn't have it. If it was only spoken to the people of Israel in their day and not written down, then, of course, we would have no idea what he spoke. And so there is an emphasis here upon the role of Malachi as a mere messenger, an errand boy for Almighty God. But there's also this emphasis upon the written word of God. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. And one reason that's so important is because in our day, people act as if God speaks to individuals today very much like he did to the prophets of old. So that God told me this and God told me that. Be careful, be careful, be careful. If God told it to you, it is the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. If it proves to be fallible, then it can't be God's word. Stop using that kind of language. The truth of the matter is, the only words which are in truth, in fact, without any question, the word of the living God, are those that are written down in a book called the Bible, and delivered to us in written form. Why is that so difficult for some people to understand? I don't know how many times I have had people say to me over the years, God told me this. And what they said God told them was something which in the passing of time proved to be completely wrong. Now, how could it be the Word of God and prove to be wrong? God told me that, I remember years ago, I was talking to a lady, and she said, God told me that so-and-so would be the next president of the United States. There was a presidential election coming up. The election had not been held yet, but she was convinced that she knew who the next president would be. God told me that so-and-so is going to win the election, that so-and-so is going to be the next president of the United States. Guess what? She got it wrong. It turned out to be the other candidate. Now, you would think that a person like that would have enough sense to say, wait a minute, I had to be mistaken. I may have thought that God told me that. I had this impression, and I thought that impression came from God, but it proved to be an error, and God doesn't make mistakes. God does know the future infallibly. God isn't guessing. God doesn't make mistakes. Therefore, if what I thought was spoken to me by God turned out to be wrong, then it could not have been from God. I better reevaluate this whole thing. I better back up. I better quit saying things like that. I better quit making claims like that. You would think that's the conclusion that a person making similar claims would come to, but alas, in my experience, it generally doesn't slow them down a bit. God told me this. It doesn't come to pass. They don't even think about it, don't pay any attention to it, just forget it, dismiss it, go on to the next thing, and before long, they're saying the same thing again about something else. That is very, very dangerous. That is, listen to me now, it is very, very blasphemous. That is an example of what the Bible's talking about when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You are taking the name of God with emptiness. You are claiming something about God and claiming that it is from God that in fact is not so. That's the mark of a false prophet. In the Old Testament, God made it very clear that if a prophet claims to speak from God and what he says does not come to pass, he must be considered a false prophet. In fact, he was to be stoned to death. That's a very, very serious sin to claim that you are speaking for God when in fact you are not. And yet there are people who call themselves Christians who do that sort of thing all the time. God told me this. God told me that. God said this to me. God said that to me. Stop saying that. That is dishonoring to God. That is taking God's name in vain. You thought taking God's name in vain only meant to cuss, to use his name as a cuss word. To take God's name in vain means to utilize his name erroneously, in an empty fashion, in a way that is not accurate, that is not true, that does not properly represent him. That is to take his name in vain. To take his name in vain is to claim that he told you something that he did not tell you. It is to claim that you have a relationship with him that you do not have. That's taking his name in vain. Let's not do that. Let's take his word seriously. And this prophecy of Malachi is a word from the living God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.